Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. A podcast partnership between Purdue University Extension and Indiana's most listened to farm radio network, Hoosier Ag Today. This is Your Health, a podcast where we focus on Purdue Extension's Health and Human Sciences Division.
Welcome to Your Health, a podcast designed to highlight and inform you of the various programs and benefits that Purdue Extension Health and Human Sciences has to offer. I'm your host, Greg Allen from Hoosier Ag Today, and we are so excited of this partnership with Purdue Extension as Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension, a podcast network that features the different extensions of Purdue Extension. Whew, that's a lot of extensions in one sentence. But the different facets of Purdue Extension are very vast, and this is just one way of bringing them all to light. So we're very extremely pleased with this union. Okay, enough extending the extensions. Let's get down to brass tacks on Health and Human Sciences, or HHS as it's commonly referred to. The HHS extension provides education to individuals and communities in each of Indiana's diverse counties. They bring university information to the local level, both in person and online, to help people strengthen relationships, eat smart, improve health, and achieve financial wellness. So when we talk about your health, we're referring to health as all-encompassing: physical, mental, financial, relational. You name the issue, and the HHS extension probably has a program for it. But don't take my word for it. Let's talk to someone who really knows what's going on. We're excited to talk today to Lisa Graves, Interim HHS Program Leader and Interim Assistant Director, Purdue Extension. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much. Delighted to be here today.
Now, Lisa, we were talking a little bit off air. In the brochure that you sent over for the HHS, there were 10, I think they were called signature programs that are offered. And you were explaining a little bit to me about those 10 and how they were just kind of a broad area of kind of encompassing pretty much every issue.
Yes. Well, and let me step back and tell you just a little bit more about Purdue Extension Health and Human Sciences, and that might help give a little more context to why we're offering some of these programs and educational resources out in communities. So very briefly, Purdue Extension Health and Human Sciences, we provide education to individuals and communities in each of Indiana's diverse counties. And we really bring the university information to the local level, whether it be in person or online offerings, to help people strengthen relationships, eat smart, improve health, and achieve financial wellness. So we think about those topic areas being food, family, money, and health. And so we're identifying the needs within communities in those topic areas, working closely with our faculty in the College of Health and Human Sciences and across Purdue's campus to determine what are the best ways that we can meet those community and individual needs around food, family, money, and health. And that's where those 10 programs that you mentioned are just a small sampling of how we're doing that.
Well, let's try and go through as many as we can. I don't know if we're going to get through all of them today, but for this inaugural Your Health podcast, it might be good just to briefly touch upon each one of the 10. So we can start, I guess, at the top with Be Heart Smart, which is about learning about heart disease and how to reduce your risk factors. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. So Be Heart Smart is a program that was developed here at Purdue University, and it really, taking into account the expertise that we have within the School of Nursing, has been developed to help people reduce their risk for heart disease and looking at those identifiable risk factors that we are able to change through lifestyle modification. And so in Indiana, heart disease is the number one killer of both men and women. And so this program is a series of lessons that helps you identify, again, some of those modifiable risk factors, whether it's diet or physical activity that that there are some very practical steps that you can take to help reduce your risk of heart disease.
What generally is the demographic for the Be Heart Smart program?
Yes, our Be Heart Smart program targets more the adult audience range, so you know, over 18, and individuals kind of above that age range.
You can say old folks. I identify with that. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're actually looking to try and engage with, you know, anyone within that adult age range, as, you know, if we can take steps earlier on in life to, you know, impact the physical activity piece, whether it's just getting started with some basic physical activity, whether it's walking or finding something that gets you moving, that can all help reduce your risk. Same thing with the diet. It's never too late to get started on making some changes within our diet that can help improve our heart health. And so, you know, starting young is great, but we'll also, you know, it's never too late to get started.
So get them, hit them while they're young.
Yes.
I like it. That's a wonderful motto. Okay, moving on to probably my favorite title for a program, Captain Cash. I don't know who comes up with these titles, but I love it.
I know. You got to be able to get excited about the title of a program to bring you in. And so Captain Cash is one of our longstanding programs for actually our third grade audience. And Captain Cash has undergone a bit of a look and feel change for what Captain Cash looks like. But this is, again, a program that is targeted on introducing youth to spending and savings through this program, oftentimes offered within the classroom setting. So we have many schools throughout the state that it helps achieve some educational standards in this topic area. And so, again, just like Be Heart Smart, trying to introduce our youth early to spending, savings, those sorts of concepts to be able to help carry them into, you know, as they get older into the future and start having resources, financial opportunities of their own to think about what some of those concepts mean that can set them up for financial success.
Now, is this a program that you will generally take into like schools, or how is it distributed, I guess?
Absolutely. We try and partner with our local schools, and whether that's starting by engaging with principals or directly with third grade teachers, oftentimes the program itself has a lot of notoriety as we deliver this program throughout the state quite widely. And so oftentimes schools will reach out to us and say, hey, I've heard about that Captain Cash program. We'd love to have you come and deliver this in our school. So our extension educators work with the classroom teachers to work this into their curriculum. Again, so it's a win-win for the teachers as well, meeting some of those educational standards. So we also are offering the sometimes as after school programs too. That might be an opportunity or part of summer camps. So a variety of ways wherever we can engage with our third grade audiences.
More importantly, Lisa, is there a mascot with Captain Cash?
Absolutely there is. And Captain Cash is actually a persona that travels around in the sea as a voyager. So Captain Cash is on ships sailing throughout the ocean to different islands of spending and savings and different things like that, borrowing.
Perhaps in a future episode of this podcast, we might be able to get Captain Cash on.
I think that's totally possible. Oh, you know, one of the fun things about this program is that sometimes when our extension educators are out in the community not representing Captain Cash, youth will identify them at various settings, you know, that they might be interacting together at the grocery store and say, hey, that's Captain Cash. So, and our educators love that too, you know, to be identified with Captain Cash was such a positive thing.
Awesome. That is awesome. Okay, moving on to probably the longest title of a program that I've seen on this list of 10 is Compassion and Resilience Education at Work. That is a mouthful.
It is. But guess what? If you break that into an acronym, the acronym for Compassion and Resilience Education at Work is CREW. So we are really targeting employees in this program, employees within organizations, to provide them with tools to address mental health and substance use. And so we actually have three lessons within this program that you don't have to offer all three of them. We work with employers to identify what would be best for their employees, whether it's around reducing stress through a stress management program, balancing work-life efforts, and then around substance use. So, and that's through stigma prevention. So a variety of ways that we can equip audiences in that area.
I can only imagine that this program probably is one of the more, and I don't want to use the word popular, but one of the more utilized programs that you have.
Yes, it's one of those programs that we are hoping to gain some more traction into. It was developed just a few years ago. And so when we think about the audiences that we work with in communities, we are really trying to, this was an area where we had a gap, at least from Health and Human Sciences Extension, in terms of serving the workforce and individuals within the workplace. And, you know, as a result of different factors throughout the last several years, there has been an emphasis around employee mental health and making sure that our employees are able to come to work, bring their best selves, but also then at the end of the day, also are able to, you know, go back home to their families and are equipped to deal with, you know, the stresses of life too. So we want to utilize this curriculum to help with that.
I think this issue, mental health, substance abuse, is one that sometimes gets overlooked. And so for the HHS to really head it on, I think is fantastic. And I think it is so needed. And I know that as the word gets out there, I think it's going to just grow and expand.
Yes, and it certainly ties into one of our other programs that I know you're going to bring up in a little bit. So maybe we can talk about that one right there while we're at it, our mental health first aid program. And so This program is really targeted towards helping individuals learn the signs and symptoms or skills to help them identify someone that's experiencing a mental health crisis. So when we think about, you know, a variety of different ways that we work within the community, this could be a great program for those within the ag industry to identify different people that they work with, whether it's producers or others that might be experiencing a crisis, and how do we identify giving them, you know, getting them some assistance or resources to help them through that crisis.
That's so important. I used to teach. I was a teacher for 9 years at Logan Sport High School in the career and tech ed division. I did TV and radio. And, you know, to be able to recognize that, especially in young people, teenagers, is so critical, I think, and to get them help that they may need, or at least to introduce them, it's vital.
Absolutely. And you know, what's exciting about the Mental Health First Aid program is that program's really geared towards adults that maybe have another adult that's experiencing a crisis. But there's also a program called Youth Mental Health First Aid. We work oftentimes with our 4-H youth development educators who are working with classroom teachers or adults who work with
Excellent.
Youth, so that those adults who are working with youth can be prepared to kind of identify what some of those crises might be in the youth that they're working with too. So there's a kind of a portfolio programming that goes along with mental health first aid, I should say.
Now this is a perfect time to bring this up because that was not on the list of 10.
Yes.
So, but you said there are a myriad of many different other, it's like a category and a subcategory, and you know, one begets the other.
Absolutely, and as I was, we had talked a little bit about this too. We have these statewide type programs that we're discussing today, but oftentimes our HHS or Health and Human Sciences Extension educators, they are bringing quite a lot of experience and expertise to those positions, either as a public, in terms of public health or financial resource management or nutrition. I'm a registered dietitian by trade, just a variety of experiences that will help them identify what the needs are in the community. And they might develop some programs or resources specific to those county needs, as we know the counties have very diverse needs too. So awesome. The ones that we're talking today are probably the tip of the iceberg.
Okay. Now this title makes me instantly think of fancy dining, like some violin music in the background. Dining with diabetes. That's nothing to laugh at, diabetes, surely. This is a wonderful title for something that is very key in helping people with diabetes eat properly, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. I think Dining with Diabetes, you got the gist of the program in the title there. It is one of our longstanding programs that we continue to adapt over time as the research changes around how we can support both individuals who have type 2 diabetes and their caregivers. Sometimes it's the person who has diabetes who is preparing the meals for themselves, but oftentimes it's the caregiver that is doing that. And so we want to invite both individuals with diabetes and their caregivers to this program, also focused on those that might be at risk of diabetes too. So maybe they have received notice that they have pre-diabetes. And so we want to ensure that this program is providing those that are part of this program some practical tips to how to manage their diabetes through lifestyle changes. And in particular, the diet, but also physical activity is a piece of that too. And thinking about too, about how they can work with their healthcare provider too in managing their diabetes. Oftentimes people receive that diagnosis that they have type 2 diabetes and instantly, you know, lots of questions swirl through your head. How do I go about managing this? What do I do? And so hopefully this program can bring a practical aspect to managing your diabetes. And one quick example of how that is done is one of the success stories we've had with this program is an individual who came to us and said, you know, before this program, I had no idea how to eat at my workplace's holiday events. And this program gave me the confidence to be able to say, oh, These are foods that are going to help me manage my diabetes when I go in that environment. So giving people some confidence, some practical skills to how to manage their diabetes.
Meal preparation, recipes, I'm sure that's all included. Wow, what a neat program.
Absolutely. I think two of the best things about that program are the taste testing component for that. So okay. Not only do you get to see the foods prepared, and again, we try and stress this that so many of the foods that we eat can fit within a person's diet. And so trying to, you know, provide you with recipes and tools to help you do that. So that's one of the exciting things about that program. And then the other one would be, I think individuals like the supportive nature of being in an environment with others who are experiencing the same things as them. And so they can talk through some strategies together and we can kind of help facilitate that.
You know, managing diabetes is not something that I struggle with, but if you ever need a taste tester for some of this, I mean, I volunteer as tribute. I'd be more than happy to help out with that. Lisa Graves, we're talking with Lisa Graves today of the HHS. This is a great time to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
The average American reaches for their mobile phone about 350 times a day. For Indiana farmers, that number is probably higher, as the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app keeps them updated on the latest markets, weather, and farm news information. If you haven't downloaded this free app, you're missing out on a powerful and portable resource. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app can be downloaded at the Apple Store and Google Play, and at HoosierAgToday.com. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
And we're back with Your Health, a podcast from the Hoosier Ag Today presents Your Purdue Extension. We're talking with Lisa Graves. Lisa, thank you for joining us today, interim HHS program leader. We're going through the list of 10. We've gotten through 5 of them already. We're flying through these things, Lisa. I knew we could do it. Here's one, a title that I'm assuming is not for me, although when I first read it, it sounded very appealing. I just moved into a new home, and having someone to help me move my things into my new house would have been a wonderful program, but I don't believe that I am moving, I am learning is for me.
You would be right about that. Although we have some other programs that I think that might interest you in terms of moving.
We'll talk.
Maybe, yeah, we'll talk later about those. But yeah, so I Am Moving, I Am Learning is really a focused program for our early learning professionals, childcare providers, to help provide them with tools and resources in their classroom settings to help get youth moving and active. And so kind of one of the efforts is kind of focusing on preventing obesity in young children, but certainly as with the case with adults, if we can get youth moving early on, this will be a great thing for their overall health. And so just to add a little bit more to, in addition to I Am Moving, I Am Learning, Purdue Extension has a community child care team that is working in many ways to equip our child care providers, those serving children, youth to 5 years old, on providing quality child care in their communities. And so I Am Moving, I Am Learning is one of the ways that we're doing that. We have other programs around block parties. We're working on developing a mentoring program for those child care providers themselves too, to provide them with support. So a lot of things happening in the area of child care with Purdue Extension, and a lot more to come too, I think, with the needs in the state that we're seeing within the workforce too, as far as organizations needing to ensure that for their employees to have childcare in order for them to continue in the workforce.
And childhood obesity is such an epidemic in our country. This is a wonderful program.
Absolutely. So again, targeting some of those modifiable type risk factors. So how can we do this through physical activity? How can we get kids excited about doing fun things either in the classroom or outside that is going to set them up for success? And, you know, it's not putting them on an exercise program or anything like that. It's really introducing them to just different activities and things like that that can help support their continued movement.
This next program we're going to talk about is very interesting, especially considering statistically that over half of marriages end in divorce. This one is called Parents Forever, and can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Sure. So our Parents Forever program can be delivered in person, but you can also, if it works better for your family, to do it online. The Parents Forever program is really geared towards families who are experiencing some sort of separation. It could be through a divorce, it could just be through the parents separating, and really the goal is to help support families in communicating through this so that the youth that are in those situations have a positive experience throughout what can be a challenging and sometimes, you know, a difficult time for them.
That is so important, especially when you consider some of the marriages that have separated or ended in divorce that I am familiar with have not been they didn't separate on the best of terms. We'll just put it that way.
Sure.
And so this is a really great program to help respectful, reasonable, responsible co-parenting. And because it's not about the two of you anymore, it's about the kids.
Absolutely. And hopefully providing some of those communication tools that will help facilitate that positive experience with supporting your child. That's really what we're trying to do with this Parents Forever program.
I love it. Okay, this next title has a registered trademark next to it, so it must be a big deal. It's got the little R in the circle thing next to ServSafe. What is this all about?
So ServSafe is we have two actually programs that fall within the ServSafe portfolio.
Which is trademark.
Yeah, trademark, which is through the National Restaurant Association. That's why you see the trademark on there.
Nice.
So we are utilizing their curriculum. And so we have a ServSafe Manager program, which is tailored more towards those in the restaurant industry who have to have that certification within the restaurant industry around food safety. And so that is one of our lengthier type programs. It's sometimes offered as a 2-day program, sometimes as a 1-day, 8-day program. There's usually an exam at the end that you would need to pass to then receive that certification. So that's important for all of us that are eating out at restaurants within Indiana. Certainly, it's great if we can have yummy food that we eat at restaurants, but it really doesn't matter unless our food is safe. So this is really helping with the safety, ensuring that the temperatures are correct, that we're following proper hand washing procedures. And so ServSafe is one of the training programs we have for those in the restaurant industry. Now, we also have a program called ServSafe Food Handler, which is a little less intense, but still has many of the same concepts. And so for those individuals who maybe find themselves as a home-based food vendor and want to, you know, sell products at a farmer's market or things like that area, we also utilize the National Restaurant Association ServSafe Food Handler program, which is just, you know, not quite as intense as the manager program, but definitely gets at the basic food safety skills that you need to prepare food safely as a home food vendor.
Now, is there a certification that comes along with that? Because I know, you know, at our church, whenever we do like community outreach where there's food involved, there has to be at least one person that's been certified with something. Is that what this is?
Similar to that, there is a certification that you receive after completing the exam that goes with that one as well.
Awesome. Okay, we talked earlier before the break about the youth mental health first aid. This is something that I feel kind of is like that, a little bit different, but the Strengthening Families program, tell us about that one.
Yes, so Strengthening Families is for parents and youth 10 to 14. It's kind of got a long title with it, but it kind of tells in the title who the audience is we're looking at with this program. It is a series of lessons that families go through together with their adolescents, and it's really focused on preventing substance use in adolescents. So again, adolescents, I have teenagers myself, and so thinking through how can we best have communication with them so that when challenges arise, when, you know, they're fearing, you know, feeling some peer pressure or to maybe engage in some things that we as adults are like, as parents, maybe that's not the direction we would want to head for them. But how can we have a conversation with them and provide them with skills and support so that they are coming to us or another trusted adult around these areas? So this program can really help, again, with those communication skills and with the goal of enhancing communication, but also preventing substance use in the future.
And we all know that communication is key, and it really is more than half the battle. When you can really sit around the dinner table and talk to your children about these things and really have them listen and understand and receive feedback from them in the form of questions and that sort of things. This is a great program.
Absolutely. You also mentioned a great, you know, piece of this with family mealtimes. We do a lot of education in that area too.
I love it.
Because a lot of research has been done in the area of the importance of shared family mealtimes and how that can not only improve communication, but again, help support families and hopefully prevent substance use. So just more that might be for another podcast.
And we were saying off break, that in the future upcoming Your Health podcasts, we might just take each and every one of these individuals and really do a deep dive into them, giving testimonials and maybe finding people that have been helped by some of these programs. I think that would be a wonderful way to really understand each and every program that you offer.
Absolutely. I think there is no better testimonial than individuals who have had experienced success in some way, shape, or form with some of the programs that they've been participating in. Our extension educators are excellent at not only delivering this content, but also really listening and understanding what our participants need in these programs to help support them. Not telling them what to do, but providing them with the resources and skills for individuals to make decisions that are going to be best for their own situation and families.
Okay, and the final one of our 10 list here, we talked about Captain Cash for students. What about for adults? How about Where Does Your Money Go? What a great title.
Again, with the great titles, right? It's one that's going to be memorable. So Where Does Your Money Go? Absolutely right. We have Captain Cash for our youth audiences, but we also want to ensure that we have some basic money management programming for our adult audiences. So Where Does Your Money Go is that. So again, helping people identify and set up a spending plan and a savings plan. Sometimes that word budget is kind of a nasty word. And so we try and think about spending plans and what does that look like? So also thinking about where do we have spending leaks within our finances that maybe we didn't realize that, you know, we were doing something every day or every month. And it's really if we maybe were able to kind of pivot and utilize that or came up with another option that could be saving us in ways that we didn't even consider. So and again, with those kind of the basic money management skills, helping people understand what their monthly finances might look like. Some individuals come to us and they're looking for this sort of change where they're looking for a little bit more security or stability in understanding where are their finances going to, again, help them achieve financial wellness in what that looks like for them.
You know, as an adult, if I were to take this program, I personally wouldn't mind if Captain Cash made an appearance. I'm just saying.
Okay. I'm sure if you put in a special request, I think we could make that happen.
Lisa, this is a lot. I mean, there are a lot of programs here and a lot of things that a person could get lost in the weeds on. And it seems like it's a lot more than one person, one Lisa Graves, can take on. I'm certain you have a wonderful team of people around you to help you with these programs.
Oh, absolutely. We certainly couldn't do this work. It definitely wouldn't happen if it were just Lisa Graves. So we have a great team within not only Purdue Extension, but within Health and Human Sciences Extension. So we have individuals that work on Purdue's campus called Extension Specialists, and they are work closely with our faculty within the College of Health and Human Sciences. So again, helping to understand, helping the faculty kind of understand what some of the needs are in communities where faculty are doing research that we could potentially partner on, some outcomes that would benefit communities. But also then we have a great network of staff throughout communities in Indiana is called extension educators. And those extension educators are, again, identifying needs in the areas of food, family, money, and health to help deliver some of these great educational programs, but also maybe develop other resources as well that could meet needs. And we quite oftentimes partner with our colleagues within Purdue Extension, whether it be in community development, agriculture and natural resources, and 4-H youth development. Of course, with 4-H youth development, you can't talk about 4-H without talking about one of the H's, which is health. So that is a great connection there. Within health and within agriculture and natural resources, we talked a little bit about farm stress. And so audiences overlap in that area. And then community development, we have a program that we partner on together called Enhancing the Value of Public Spaces, Creating Healthy Communities. Another mouthful, but essentially kind of a community action plan that we work with communities to be intentional about increasing access to physical activity and healthy food environments. So we couldn't do this without our large team. Again, also the faculty on campus. So it really takes everyone to lift up the overall health of extension.
It all intertwines, doesn't it?
Yes. And if that's awesome. Not enough too, Certainly, individuals could reach out to the Purdue Extension Education Store. There's over 2,000 free or affordable books, PDFs, resources, many of them on topic areas related to food, family, money, and health. So we've got a free downloadable resource on family meal times. We're now in the season of food preservation. There's a downloadable publication on making your own homemade blocks, so for block play with your kiddos. So lots of ways that we can engage with you and meet your needs within communities.
I was just going to ask you, Lisa, how can an individual that may be listening right now to this podcast or watching this podcast, how can they find more information about these different programs?
Sure. Well, the first thing I would encourage you to do is reach out to your local county extension office. There's one in all 92 counties in Indiana, and you can do this a couple of different ways. Through extension.purdue.edu, there is an option to find your county office, and from there, reach out to them. If any of these programs sounded of interest to you, certainly ask about the program itself. If they don't have it in their county, or they might be offering it locally in another county just nearby, or it might be offered online. So that would be one way. So again, extension.purdue.edu, find your county office. If you're looking specifically for health and human sciences, on that website, there is a tab at the top to health and human sciences. That will get you to our HHS extension webpage. And so you can browse by topic, whether it be food, family, money, or health, anything that interests you there. And there is an option even within those pages for you to connect with your county office. So lots of ways that we can connect you. If you're a fan of social media, we also have a Facebook page, Purdue University Health and Human Sciences Extension. Encourage you to follow us. We share a lot of the work that our staff are doing out in the counties. We were just recently at the Indiana State Fair promoting different things like fall prevention, reading, literacy. We were doing some things with mental health, with going in with the theme of the Indiana State Fair this year, and making your own playlist. So your music playlist. So soundtrack of summer.
Awesome. Lisa Graves, Interim HHS Program Leader. It has been delightful talking with you today. Thank you so much. And looking forward to the next time we get to talk again.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And just thrilled to be able to meet community needs around the areas of food, family, money, and health.
Well, there you have it. That's all for Your Health, a podcast from the Hoosier Ag Today Presents Your Purdue Extension Network. Next time, we'll go even more in depth into what HHS is all about and what it has to offer you. And until next time, I'm Greg Allen with Hoosier Ag Today. I'll see you down the road.